It's really, really hot.
Shkoyach, thank
can
you.
Can't even hold it.
Good.
Shkoyach, thank you for your assistance.
Oh, good.
Oh, no. Bye.
That's not good.
You can't hold these silly cups. For Pesach,
yeah.
I don't like using the other ones. They don't make
the styrene ones?
They don't make the hefsher.
Do they not?
No.
Sure.
They don't.
Okay.
Only these.
Really?
You can't hold them. You can, but...
Since when did cups need a heksher?
No,
I know. Fakhet, the paper was a shala 1 year.
One year
they spoke about the lids of the foil containers.
They're not paper though, those other cups.
They're polystyrene.
Rabbi Feldman,
what is that?
Rabbi Feldman said he went along to the factory that made the paper. He said, and I ate one of these plates.
So Rabbi Feldman said that years ago.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
I ate a plate.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
It's funny actually, because I say that, but. We're being recorded. Everybody's being recorded, okay? So speaking about eating plates, I think it was these Thai hostages who said that they ate toilet paper in order, they soaked toilet paper in water and ate it in order to give them a feeling of having eaten something. Okay, so we spoke yesterday, we started speaking yesterday about the Chofetz Chaim. Our limud of Chofetz Chaim is the schus, the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Mesoich Shal Chayli Yisrael. And we started speaking yesterday about the fact that the Chofetz Chaim says it takes two to create a Lashon Hara situation. You need a Mesapeh and you need a Mekabel. The fact that the Mekabel is listening makes it worthwhile for the Mesapeh to speak. And obviously, if there were no Mesapeh, then the Mekabel wouldn't be listening to anything. So he says as follows. I can't even read my own writing. Yeah. So then he says that now we're coming into the question of Toyeles. He says this brings us into the question of Toyeles. Right? There is a thing called listening with the kavana not to accept the information. And there's another category, he says, of listening with the intention of not believing what's being said. Okay? There's not accepting and not believing. Okay? So he says that obviously sometimes the Chofetz Chaim says that you will have toyeles, like a business decision or a shidduch, and then he's allowed to listen, but he's not allowed to accept the information as fact.
Unless he checks it out.
Okay? He's not allowed to accept it as fact.
Until?
What? Until...
Never.
Well... The only time technically, says the Chofetz Chaim, when you can believe it is Alpi Shnayim Edim Yokum Dover, if two people stand up in a Beis Din. Not Shnayim Edim outside a Beis Din, but Shnayim Edim in a Beis Din, if they say something, then you're allowed to believe it. That's the Chiddush of the Torah of two Edim. Okay? So he says as follows. We're speaking in a case where the speaker is already speaking. In other words, the speaker has already started saying the Lashon Hara, the information about the person which looks bad for the person. So he says, when you want to listen L'Toyeles, then he says, first of all, it has to be that you have to know that the speaker himself is telling the information L'Toyeles, and not Stam Lashon Hara. In other words, that the speaker says, I'm about to tell you this information because you need to know shidduch information, or because you're about to make a business decision. And the second thing is that the listener arrives after the speaker started speaking. Because if not for that, then the fact that the listener's there waiting to hear something means that he is being goyim that the person starts speaking, and therefore he'll be over lifnei against the person who starts to speak because he's there.
Start today at the Torahway Northwest, London, Monday, 21st of Kislev, 4th of December, Rabbi Gershon Ben Shlita, lighting on an airplane, with a bonus of the meaning behind the name Kiddush Oel Moshe. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Bluff on the first Kumar Kanasim, Paul, Vincent Shannon, Ariel, and the Fireball Greeters, Tithia, Tithia, Mitzvah Shem, the Simcha, Mazel Tov, today.
Amen. Okay. So I'll start off with the bonus feature which we're supposed to discuss, which is the background to the name Kehilas Oil Moshe. Now, for all those who don't realize, the reason why we want to discuss this today is because there is a campaign going on, and this will be helpful advertising of Oil Moshe, and therefore, hopefully, the advertising already worked, and they're already doing amazingly in the campaign. But just a bit of background to the name Kehilas Oil Moshe. Kehilas Oil Moshe was named after my great-grandfather, Reb Moshe Lestempel Hashem Yom Kondomo, who was killed by the Nazis in the Holocaust. He was a son-in-law of the Kedushas Tzion, the Bava of the Rebbe. The Bava Rebbe said about him that he was a Kadosh V'Tohar. He came from a less Hasidish family, and he was very Hasidish, and he was a Bava of a Chassid, and the Bava Rebbe took him as a son-in-law. He was very close to his brother-in-law, Reb Shlomo Bava, and they made a deal as they were running away from the Nazis that whoever would survive the war, the other one would look after the kids, or the remaining alive one would watch over the kids of that one like it was his own kids. For that reason, Reb Shlomo Bava came to London for 5 out of the 6 weddings my grandfather, Mr. Stern, made, because he had to be mekayim his promise of looking after the children of Reb Moshe's temple, and therefore my grandmother, Mrs. Stern, was the daughter of Moshe's temple, so when she made chasana, Reb Shlomo Halberstam came from America to here to be mekayim that. I'll tell you 2 stories about him. One was, he was a big Baal Chesed. He always wanted to give tzedakah. His father was a wealthy man, and his father had bought nice jewelry for his wife, my great-grand Mrs. Freshwater. And one Erev Shabbos, she came to him in a panic that all the jewelry had been stolen from the safe. She opened the safe to put on her Shabbos finery, and it was all gone. And he's not sure what to do. And he said, "Don't worry, ich bin the Ganov." Because he had pawned it to try and to sort out some poor person, and therefore he could say that he would do that. And you know, for tzkufa, he would go back to the person who he pawned it to, say, "Please, can I borrow it for Shabbos? Because my wife would be upset otherwise." And okay. And one more story was, a poor man came to him that he was making chasana and he had no money. And he said, "I have a letter from the Divrei Chaim, which is very valuable. Allow me to give this to you as a guarantee, and that you should give me some money against it." And he said, "You know what, how much is the letter worth?" He said, $25. He said, "I'll buy it off you for $500, which was 20 times, real amounts. For $500 in those days, was a very lot of money. And he bought a letter off this poor man from the Divrei Chaim, which was a very valuable thing, but not as valuable as he paid for it. So the poor man could make chasana beravchas. Then, when the war began, as his wife was, his parted ways to try and run away, he gave Mrs. Freshwater, who was his wife, she was then Mrs. Temple, he gave her the letter and he said, "Keep this with you, because whenever you are, it's a valuable thing and you could use it to buy yourself food for however long you need. You could sell this letter." And she sewed the letter into the lining of her clothing and she had the letter. And as she was being smuggled out, the fellow told them, the smuggler, "You have to make sure you have no Jewish paraphernalia on you, because if you get caught, the Nazis will find something Jewish. They'll know you're Jewish." She said, "Oh, I've got a letter from the Divrei Chaim in my shoulder. You know, that's not going to work, because if you have a letter to Divrei Chaim, you're clearly someone who's very Jewish." And therefore, she gave the letter on to her sister, and because her sister wasn't running away at the time, her sister gave it to us for safekeeping, and the letter got lost. And in the 50s, Reb Shlomo Bobova came to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, and someone came to meet him, a random Hasidic fellow from pre-war Europe who had escaped to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, "I have a letter of Divrei Chaim, and since you are an inkle of Divrei Chaim, I want to present you with a letter." And he gave Shlomo Bava a letter. Shlomo was very happy about it. On the way back from it, so Shlomo Bava was in Antwerp, and his sisters came from London to meet him. They hadn't seen him for 8 years, and they wanted to spend Shabbos with their brother, Shlomo Halberstam. And he tells them that, you know, this guy came to him, he survived the war, and he had a letter to Divrei Chaim, and he told him he had a letter, and my grandmother, Mrs. Freshel, said, "Oh, I think this is my letter." She says, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I had a letter which I sewed into my shoulders, and I gave it away." And he said, "Tell me, do you have any simonim of the letter?" She said, "Of course, I'll tell you who was written to, and what it says in the letter." And they opened the letter, and it was her letter. And he gave it to her happily, wholeheartedly. And he said that was very interesting, that the letter came to him, because the sons of Rebbe, who was also an einikel from the Divrei Chaim, came to Eretz Yisrael 2 years before the Bava Rebbe did, and this fellow, for some reason, didn't give it to the sons of Rebbe. He just chose to give it to the Divrei Chaim Einikel who met the Bava Rebbe. This letter is now in Leibel's temple safe. He has it for safekeeping, and this helped them survive the war because they sold it on for money, and that was the story of Reb Moshe's temple, who was a big tzaddik, and the Moshe is named after him. Okay, now we're going to discuss lighting Chanukah candles on an aeroplane. So there's really two angles to the question. One angle is, can you use this menorah as on an aeroplane? This menorah was made by one of my rabbeim, his name is Reb Shlomo Kohn. He now is the Av Beis Din in Melbourne, Australia. When I learned by him, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And this is you can buy it, it's called Chanukiah Bedi'evet. That's the name of the menorah. And it's what that's what we're going to discuss. So it's made, when you turn it, they turn on. They don't all work, but a lot of them work. The kids are. Now, it's made that each of the bulbs is connected to one battery. The battery is very important, not electric, because the battery means you have shemen, you have a way of fueling it for the required half an hour. And it's made that it's eight separate things, because you can't have a madura, as we'll see, it can't be one big conflagration. And there's a big tzad that these are also not LED in no way, so therefore it's illegal to actually sell this in England nowadays, because you can't buy incandescent bulbs nowadays in England, but these are incandescent because we wanted to have the halachic status of esh, of fire, which Achiezer held you could use for Havdalah and for Neir Shabbos as well. Many poskim say you can. And my Rebbe Shlomo Kohn holds that one could use this on an aeroplane to light with a brocha the Chanukah candles. So, not everyone's so happy with this. It depends on various things. Again, these things are not mamash, that's not really what today's shiur is about. It depends on whether you're allowed to, are you mechuyev to light on a plane. The chiyuv Chanukah is only in your house. And you have to have a bias. A homeless person is not mechuyev with Chanukah lecht. He maybe makes a birkas haroya, someone who saw Chanukah candles, but the actual lighting, he won't be able to because there's a din, like a mezuzah, you can't make, you haven't got a doorway. Pashtus, it's similar to that, and you can't make if you haven't got a house. But Yashiv says, you're mechuyev to collect money to buy a Chanukah lecht, you're mechuyev to collect money to buy a house, so you can have Chanukah lecht where to light the Chanukah lecht. But, so, Shaila is, are you mechuyev to light an aeroplane? Not, is the aeroplane called your house or not? There's a Rashi in Shabbos who brings down that on a boat, you are not mechuyev to light Chanukah candles. However, there's a Marasham who says that on a train you are. Now, he's one of the old-fashioned sleeper trains, which I may not remember, but apparently it was Mamash, a bedroom and a little cubby and a bunk, and therefore Marasham says, and many places can go with him, that on a Zahar sleeper train you would be mechuyev to light with a brocha. Rashi's boat, yeah, they say Rashi's talking about a little flimsy rowboat where you're not really called sleeping there overnight, but a train, and therefore well, then many poskim say an aeroplane you would be mechuyev to. Reb Shlomo Kohn told me, what do you mean? He said, the chair on the aeroplane is much more comfortable than the chair in my house. He said, the food on the aeroplane is much better than the food in my house. Avada is called a bias, and therefore Avada, if you stay your overnight flight, you'll be mechuyev. I told someone asked me in Shaila, they're flying overnight. They have a Shabbos Erev Brachas in Manchester on Shabbos. They're driving to London on Sunday afternoon to take the El Al overnight flight on Sunday night, overnight this year, to Eretz Yisrael. And you got a big problem, because there's no way he can really light. He can't light in Manchester. He's leaving Manchester on Sunday lunchtime. He can't light before Plug HaMincha ever happens. And he's not sleeping in London. He hasn't got a house in London. He lives in Israel, and he's flying to Israel overnight. He's getting to his house at 6 a.m., well after Alois. There's no way he can light Chanukah candles. So I'm going to try and get hold of one of these for him, because maybe, according to some shittas, he'll be mekayim. Now, even though my Rebbe says make a bracha, maybe not everyone's so happy, maybe he won't make a bracha, but upon him, the few many shittas, he'll be mekayim by lighting this. There's a machlokas, pashtus not, but Eli Rabbah and the Bach say yes. That the mitzvah is the bracha, but pashtus not ma'akov. Correct. And therefore, he'll be safe. At least, if he can, he'll be mekayim the mitzvah by lighting, and if not, then he won't make a bracha of atala, because he won't make a bracha, and therefore he'll be fine. So
I'd say that each one's got separate batteries.
So. Yeah, I'm not sure you need that dafka, but Ozecha, by the way, you should know the lighting in by Golders Green Station. If anyone here is honoured with the kibbutz of lighting it, it's dodgy to make a bracha there because it's not anyone's house at all. Even the din of a shul is not so posh if it's an outdoor shul, and therefore to make a bracha there, even I think now they do use fire there. They used to use electric, now it become a fire, but still that's not simple to make a bracha there at all. And the people don't. And then my grandfather Abaduna once lit there, and he made a very loud song of noise about it. But he got to the Shem Hashem, it went very fast and very quiet, and he didn't make it with a shame because it's not simple to make a bracha on that. But this is a machlokas, and it could be one. But I don't discuss that.
If you have only one battery there, then isn't that like the bowl of oil?
There looks like a madura. The
number of wicks sticking out from the same.
There looks like a bonfire. This is a bonfire, it's like one beautiful light. It's like the first night of Hanukkah. And no, even on the fifth night, I like one. It's kind of mitzvah. Doesn't look like a madura. It's not like. I'm asking, if you make a lag boy and bonfire Hanukkah by night, you won't be kind of mitzvah. Because it doesn't look like. It looks like a madura, it doesn't look like anything. But here, also, it's not posh, because it could be you need dafka. You need dafka psila wick. It could be if you just light a wood stick in your house. It's not poshim kind of mitzvah. It could be you need oil and a wick or some sort of. But agaponim, if you manage this as you could, and therefore, hence the name Chanukiah b'di'eved, it actually comes with like a whole list of different shittas that hold you on. Okay, but I want to discuss something. I want to discuss a more geschmack option. I want to know.
If someone lights in your house, although you're not there,
not the shayla bi'alocha, is that called? The bi'alocha says if you go away for the whole Hanukkah, you haven't got a house. You haven't got your house anymore. It's a shayla if you're just not missing for one night. Could you send someone in? That's a good shayla. That I'm middle of working on for him. Maybe that'll be an eitzah. Send someone into his house. It could be send someone in your house will be okay. That's the easy eitzah. I want to discuss. Nowadays it's a bit risky. So if you do it, you should not. Don't blame me if you get arrested. But I want to discuss: can you light a candle on your table on the plane for a second and then blow it out? That's what my shir.
Hospital do the same thing.
In a hospital, you do the same thing. In a tank, maybe not advisable, but in a tank also maybe. Are you allowed to light a candle for a minute and blow it out to be kind of mitzvah? What am I talking about? That's my shayla today, and we'll go through a bit of the sugya and see how we go. Before that, we'll discuss one very important geschmacka, famous Galgal HaChayza in Hilchot Chanukah, which we have to mention because it'll be a shame to miss this out. The halacha by Chanukah Dafka that Mechaber Begdan Tzorich Lezoher Ma'od Baluchos Ne'er Chanukah, and it's so important. Afilu Oni Hamafanis Minat Stoker, even if you're very, very poor, you should either go collecting or sell your clothing to have Chanukah Lecht. Yeah, famous halacha. Why Pesumin Nissa is so important? We want to make sure you're Mekayim Pesumin Nissa. The Rambam Hilchos Shabbos brings down that Shabbos Lecht are very important. Shabbos lights. Afilu Ein Loi Mayoichal Shoel Al Apsachim. It's mashma from the Rambam that you do not need to sell your clothing to buy Shabbos candles, only for Chanukah candles. Be'alacha brings Cholkim and Jerei Shem Kimmel, but as always, Mashman and Rambam. So we here have here Mephora Shariah that Hilchot Chanukah are more important than Hilchot Shabbos. Hilchot Chanukah, you've got to sell your clothes, Hilchot Shabbos, you don't.
Once you've sold your clothes, and once you've got the money, then you have to light Shabbos candles.
Forget the second. That's the problem. That's where I headed to. So you sold your clothes, you can't make a brocha anyway, you've got no clothes. But I think it's talking about your frack, it's not talking about it. Okay, now. So, the shayla is, there's another halacha, which is what you're coming from. The halacha broke down in Shabbos, Gemara Shabbos is, but halacha, that if you only have one candle and it's Erev Shabbos, you're not sure to light Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles. Yeah, Shabbos candles minimum is only one, don't need two, that's halacha of Shomer, but Ikhad, you one. You got one candle, what do you do with Shabbos or Chanukah? Says the Gemara, Shabbos. Why? Because Shomer bias. Because the reason we light Shabbos candles is, Shloi Koshel Be'etz Be'evin. Because you may end up bumping into your wife and the chicken soup will go flying everywhere and having a huge punch up. We don't want that to happen. And therefore, we want to have light in the house. Nowadays we have light, but on days there's no light at all. And therefore, Shalom Bayis Odif, it's very important to have good Shalom Bayis. And therefore, you light Shabbos candles before Chanukah candles. Now comes the Shaila. You're standing Erev Shabbos Chanukah, you have no money, you have no candles, all you have is your jacket. So you're going to go and sell your jacket, and you'll, with the proceeds, you'll buy one candle. Either jackets are very cheap or candles are expensive, but you'll buy one candle. Shaila is, what do you do? Are you mechuyav to sell your jacket to buy one candle? Because if you have one candle, you have a bit of a quandary now. Because halachically, Shalom Bayis wins, because you use the candle for Ner Shabbos. But you weren't mechuyav to sell your clothing for Ner Shabbos. The chiyuv to sell your clothing only is for Ner Chanukah. And therefore, freak the Panovich Rav, what do you do in that situation? Do you sell your clothing to buy Chanukah candles? And then once you have the Chanukah candles, say, oh, I've got to change it. I can't use the Chanukah candle. I've got to use it for Shabbos because Shabbos versus Chanukah, Shabbos Adif. Or do you say, no, my whole obligation to sell clothing was only for Ner Chanukah, and therefore, I sold it for Chanukah, I'll use it for Chanukah. Or do you say, do nothing. Maybe don't sell the clothing, because if you sell the clothing, you'll have to use it for Shabbos. I'm not Mechoy to sell the clothing for Shabbos, and therefore, I'll light nothing. What are you saying?
It's a Shabbos. Starts earlier,
because you're close to Shabbos. You can light Chanukah candle from Plag HaMincha also. That's what we do. So this is a problem, this is a famous problem, Machlok Zachronim, what to do in the Shaila. Reb Shlomo Zalman held that you should sell your clothing and light Chanukah candles. Because Shabbos doesn't come in. Right now, I'm in a situation, I can't light Shabbos candles. All I can do is sell my clothing for Chanukah, and therefore I do that. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Yashiv, say, no, you're talking about. First, sell your clothes. Now I've got a candle. Now I go to the Rav. I've got one candle. What do I do now? You go to the Shabbos. And therefore, they hold you to Shabbos. Kshmak Shaila. Okay. Yes, problem. Now, the Shaila is. So, the Shaila is. Why don't we say, you know what? You got one candle now. Light it for Chanukah. Yeah? Shabbos wins. Blow it out a second later. And then relight it for Shabbos. So you have good Shalom Bayis. You won't bump into your wife. You know, chickens are flying everywhere. And you're Mekayim Hilchot Chanukah. Why are you Mekayim Hilchot Chanukah? Because the Sugya of Kofsa Ein Zochokla. Which, there's a Gemara there which brings it down that if you have the certain oils and wicks that you shouldn't use on Shabbos, because we're scared that you're trying to read the Jewish Tribune by the light, so you won't be able to see properly, and you may, because they're very rubbish wicks, you may end up being yatted in there to try and read the Jewish Tribune. So you can't use them on Shabbos, but halacha is on Chanukah we pass and you can. Why can you? Because on Chanukah there's a halacha, oslish damish la'ira, you're not allowed to read the Tribune by the lights, and therefore there's no chashash you'll move the nearest, and therefore these aforementioned bad oils and wicks you can use on Chanukah. The Gemara says the chashash, it may go out. So what doesn't matter? Kovsa ein zokukla. If they go out, if they weren't, it wasn't inevitable, they would go out. It doesn't matter. Nafkamina, if I'm at home and I've got a very labored kid and he goes and smashes over my Chanukah candles, no problem at all. I'm a kind of mitzvah, even though he smashed it over 1 minute after I lit them. Either weren't lit for half an hour, it doesn't matter. As long as I did the Maisa Hadlaka, which had the potential to last for half an hour, says the Gemara Kovso Ein Zachlam. I'm sure we'll bring it down. The Mechaber says, Hadlaka Oise Mitzvah, Tafish Angel Beis. Hadlaka Oise Mitzvah. The lighting is the Mitzvah. Lefichach, in Kovso, if it goes out, it's called a matter. Mishabura, Rose Lema, Kiyim and Shehidlik, Takeif, Kiyim HaMitzvah. You're Mechanim straight away. Lefichach, therefore, in Kovso Ein Zachlam. If you light it in a place where it's very, very windy, then you got a problem, because it wasn't able to last for half an hour. If you lit it in a normal place, and then your very, very windy sun came in and knocked the whole thing over, no problem at all, because we're assuming your sun is not called a Ruach Mitzuya, it's not inevitable, and therefore, you're a Kayan of it. Okay. No, chavidus, you can't do it. You have to be, that there, the whole point is to use it there, it's also to use it, it's not going to work. Yeah, but here they're the same Matara there. Here, this one is only there to be used for Shabbos, only they're not to be used for Chanukah. It's not going to work. So, Kavsa Ein Zokukla. Therefore, the Gemara says, if you light it with a rubbish-ish oil and it punkt goes out, it doesn't matter. Kavsa Ein Zokukla. That's the Gemara. So, the Sfas Emes, the Imre Emes, I believe, has a Shaila. Why does the Gemara say, Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos, Odif, Kishalim, Bayis, we paskin kovsa ein zokukla, and therefore you should light the Chanukah candle, blow it out 10 seconds later, now make a new bracha, Chanukah Ner Shal Shabbos, and then everyone's happy. You got rid of the Galgal Achoyza, your Shai Pomerich Rav, you found an Eitzah, you sold your clothes, you got one candle, and now I can do both with one candle. Amazing. It's Mar from the Gemara that you can't do so. So he says, Vaist Ois, from the Gemara, that you're not able to be. Blow out your own candle. Because if you could blow out your own candle straight away, the Gemara would bring that Eitzah. Elamai, Chavsa B'mezid, there's a problem. That is the taina of the Imre Emes. So, I want to argue perhaps it's not so Mukach. Because, we said, if you light it in a Ruach Mitzuya place, then you Zicha are not Mekayim Mitzvah. If you light it in a place where it's very windy, and you know it's going to go out straight away, you're not Mekayim Mitzvah. It went out straight away. You didn't do a Hadlaka that was possible to last for half an hour. So now, what happens? I'm asking the Rav, what should I do, Rav? I only got one candle, and I got to do Shabbos and Chanukah. And the Rav will say, you know what you should do? You should light it for a second. Now, you're mechuyev to blow it out, and then relight it for Chanukah, for Shabbos. One could argue that if I did the Zahar Hadlaka, that's not Hadlaka, which is shayach, to last for half an hour. If I did the Hadlaka, which the Torah requires me to blow it out straight away, that's no worse than a Ruach Mitzuya. My whole ability to light is on condition I'll put it out. If I wouldn't put it out, I'm not allowed to light the candles at all. I've got to light Ner Shabbos first. And therefore, perhaps you have no raya from here. I think to the main shaila is, I lit the candles, and then My wife said, actually, we've got a Hanukkah party at my parents. Let's go. I'm scared to see the candles lit. Put them out and let's go. So after half an hour, you could do that. Yeah, you're carrying a mitzvah. It's fine, even though it's an Indian, the light for a long time, and Chassid Shidin have accustomed to sit there looking at the neighbors for a long time. Very, very, very nice. But halakhically, half an hour after it's gone, you put it out, no problem. Yeah, even the oil that burned, that was oimer to burn then, might be okay. It wasn't hooked to mitzvah, so only the first half an hour, that's a shayla. But half an hour is a chiyuv. But here, I lit them, and a minute later, my wife says, come, Gershon, we're going out. I'm scarcely the candles lit. Okay, we'll blow them out, off we go. Can you do that or not? So that's not comparable to the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos was when you have to blow them out. That could be worse. Because then, when I lit them, it was with a halachic requirement to blow it out. The halachic requirement could be a ruach metzuya, Masha Enkein, my choosing to blow them out on the way out may not be so. Now, I'll tell you a few shailas that depend on this. In Israel, the custom is you light outdoors, yeah, on the Pesach of the thing, with a geschmack little box. Yeah, you know, in Brisk, they're very into where you light in Brisk. The Reb Lov Soloveitchik didn't want to move Diras nearer to Yeshiva, because he lives about 10 minutes walk from Yeshiva, and Sof Yomov, he's about in the high 90s, or hard for him to walk. But he said, how could he move? His father paskened for him where to light the Chanukah candles in this Dira, and therefore, how could he move? The new Dira's father's been dead 50 years, he won't know where to light. Everyone knows where you light. It's a very big thing. There's one Dira, I was there, a Bochum Dira, that they said the rent was to go up for winter's month. Colloquially, why? Because the Brisker Rav paskened on that Dira where to light Chanukah Lech, and therefore it's a very variable Dira, you know mamish where to light. So in Brisk, they're very into where to light, and the dorm across from Yeshiva, and ready from the beginning of Cheshvan, the little boxes ready put out, because it has to be near the Pesach of the Chotzer, within 10 tfachim of the floor, near the about 100 guys in the dorm there, and the prime real estate, about 6 boxes worth, and from there it gets more. But yeah, so everyone puts their boxes there in advance. These boxes are not so simple. Why? Because these boxes are closed boxes. And how do you open them? You open the door, you light, and you close the door. What would happen if you wouldn't close the door? And you just lit and left it into the elements for half an hour. What would happen? It would blow out. So, fake the Maral Diskin, you got a problem. Because we hold Kofsa in Zakhlo only if it was Roy to last. What's that look if you take a wick with a tiny bit of oil, enough for 1 minute, and you light it? You light it. And then you say, oh, vai, I forgot to put oil in. And you quickly pour more oil in. Ma, do you know?
No answer.
No good. Why? It wasn't Roy b'shas hadlaka osa mitzvah, and it wasn't Roy to last for half an hour. Look, Ma'al Diskin, and these boxes, you're going to have a very similar problem. Why? Because as you opened it, then you lit it, and now it's not going to last for half an hour. You quickly go and close it, that's like the guy quickly adding oil, and therefore you're not your mitzvah. So you've got a big problem. The female disc is going to be very, very dexterous. You have to like open it a tiny bit and put your hand around, and therefore in such a way that it's still not going to blow out for half an hour.
I don't think so. I mean, it's lighting a box the same as lighting in a room. You just have to light somewhere where the wind won't blow it out.
But here, the box is open, the wind will blow it out.
If you open your door,
as I'm lighting it, I couldn't light it in my room with the window wide open in front of my lighting.
Yeah, but as soon as you open your window, it will blow it out.
But here, I'm lighting it when the window's open.
You're lighting it when the window's open.
Yeah. So my other they've got a problem. Many Achoyim disagree. Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Shlomo Zalman tainas that there's one big Maisa Hadlaka taking place. You're lighting it and then shutting it. It's all part of the Hadlaka. It's not shut, you compartmentalize, I lit it and then I added Shemen. No. Here, how do you light it? You light it and then you close it. And therefore, you look at it as one big Maisa Hadlaka. And therefore, you only look at it after you finish the act of lighting. And after the act of lighting, it was only to last for half an hour. And therefore, the fact that there's a split second in between the lighting and the closing, that is not a problem, and therefore you could be Makai in the mitzvah. That is Shlomo Zalman's argument on this. Okay.
It's slightly different to a difficult wick. Sometimes you have to light
it. Excellent. Yeah, Maski. As you start lighting a difficult wick, you still need to touch it up a bit. That's fine, because it's all part of the Maisa Hadlaka. That's a good right. And therefore, that's the pashtus, and therefore, you're going to be okay. Yeah, we saw the Gedolim lighting in the little boxes. They didn't know to only open up a marshu and get like a curvy wick around it. So do it. The Chori, that's going to be the Hesper. Okay. Now, there's a Geshmaka Shiloh which depends on this, and that is, there is a Gemara which says, if you have a cup of oil with loads of wicks coming out of it, and you light it, you're not yotz, because it looks like a madura. It's like a bonfire. Says the Gemara, however, if you have you have like a cup, you have on it a top of it, like a cover, and loads of like an octopus type of thing, either there's separate places for each wick to go, there's no problem. So then you've got a round menorah, right? It's very clear, one wick, and you're like, so without that cover, just for the plate and wicks coming out of it, if you light them all, you see like a flaming plate, that would be no good, it's a mazur. Says Rav Elazar Moshe Horovitz in the back of the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. The whole problem of Madura only is if you lit all the wicks at the same time. You have like an octopus style lighter, and you light it, and boom, you light them all at the same time. But if you go around the plate, do one, no problem at all. Why? Because even though at the end it's Kavsa, it's a Madura, it looked like one big bonfire, but as you lit the first one, it was only to last for half an hour. It was a kosher light. And a second later, you lit the second one, the third one, the fourth one. It doesn't matter. So you did a good Maisa Hadlaka. And afterwards, you chose to make it to Madura. The Maisa Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. And I did a Hadlaka at the right time. And the right Mitzvah, one Ner was lit for 1 second. The fact that afterwards I went and made it into a Madura, no problem at all.
No, you go to one, to be the Kavone to switch to...
So that's Mamas in this case. You see my first there. Here, I lit one. I'm going to arrive from here to our case. I lit one. I died to the Hachi to muck it up after 1 minute. I died to the Hachi to put it out after 1 minute. I died to the Hachi to make it to bomb after 1 minute. And the Lord of Hosts says, you are Yotzer. And the case of the Gemara of Madura only is when you lit them all the same time. If you do one at a time, you would be Yotzer because for 1 second it was kosher. It's Mefurish that you could light it and put it out straight away. Say him. No, Madura is a problem even for the Igal Locha. Not count anything. Not count anything with Madura. It's not even one candle because it's just partial conflagration. Yeah. If you, no one's gonna say if you make an explosion. Yeah. You send a rocket into Gaza. You mekayim one ner for 1 second because you made a fire. There's no such thing. Yeah. Because it's not a ner. It's partial conflagration. Conflagration no good. You can't light fireworks. So it's not gonna work. Yeah. If I wrote last one.
So, could you repeat the question?
I didn't. So, Mefurish in Los Moshe, that you're Yotze Betzer. He says that the Gemara said that Madura is no good, has to be when you lit all 10 wicks at the same time. But if you lit them one at a time, then it would be Kovsa in Zakukla, and for a second you had a good wick, and therefore you would be Yotze your mitzvah.
Because you're Yotze with the first
wick. The first wick.
Because
and
of that.
And the second one, okay, so the second one is like I'm putting it out. I'm in the second later, I'm doing something to mess up my first one. But it's not worse than me lying to my kid knocking it over. And therefore I'm Yotze, so he says. So either Gemara and Madura is no good. Talking about either you lit all 10 the same time, or 10 people lit one the same time, wherever it was, where it wasn't any second where it was 1 week.
So that would be a riot.
That's a riot that you can't put it out straight away.
You can't put it out yourself.
Right. Yeah. Now no place can be down. The Pasha of the Gemara is not like that. And therefore the Chayra, that is the Machlokes. So there's a tshuva in Betzela Chochma. He wants to know about lighting on an aeroplane. So remember, Bzalach lived in different times. In the good old days when you could smoke on an aeroplane, it wasn't nowadays where you get £1,000 fine, even for smoking in the toilet. In the old days, you could light, no problem. And he says, he held like the Marsham by a train, he held like that, that your aeroplane called your house, and therefore you're ideally mechuyev to light on a plane. So he says you should light, be very happy, don't light eight, you just light one, because they come mitzvah. You should light one fire, of one candle on your tray in front of you. They'll tell you to put it out. If you say to put it out, so the machlokes of kovsa bemezid is a problem. Yeah, we said the machlokes is mekel, others are machmir, shkushai, maral diskin, or not, whatever. And therefore, he said, ideally, you tell the stewardess, listen, I hear you want to put it out, so I don't want to because halacha la ma'isa we pass in kovsa bemezid is zokakla, and you have to relight it. So halacha la ma'isa, the shahat see in the mevuah, that you cannot do this, you cannot just put it out and go to the Chanukah party. The Rashaila is not a good Shaila. So halacha, you don't like it. But here, so the stewardess comes, he says, tell her, hi, yeah, sorry about this little fire over here, it's Chanukah today. And she says, oh, you've got to put it out. Say, I prefer, if you want, you put it out. I don't want to put it out. If you want, you should put it out. But then, I'm not kovsa b'mezid. My kid, so to speak, is knocking over. The stewardess is knocking over, and therefore mekayim mitzvah. If she says absolutely not, I'm not blowing out your candle. You blow it out now, you get arrested when you land. Then you should blow it out, and the fee some shittas. You mekayim mitzvah, and therefore that's what you should do. So halacha l'maisa, If you are on a plane with no other option, you should lechayre like this out of bracha. I mean, some say with a bracha, we'll say out of bracha. And if you're very, very daring, you should light one candle on your plate and hope for the rest. And hope for the best, and that you shouldn't get arrested. And thank you everyone for listening, and have a very, very good day.
Good. I am going to be a bit kind of high.